Okay, today's daf is daf Samach. We're going to get into Samach Aleph, and we'll kind of finish up Samach Aleph on Sunday. So on Shabbat, you don't have to catch up. Okay, we're starting from the sixth line on daf Samach. I think it's the sixth, if I counted correctly. Yeah, Amara, the very end of the line, Amara Papa. Oveh Kochavim Adana v'Yisrael Akuba. Okay, they keep giving all these examples. If the Oveh Kochavim is carrying the Chavit, and he's pouring it into the jug of the Israel. The Israel has the jug. Chamra asir. My taima. Ki ka'ate mikoch ovdei kochavim ka'ate. Okay, because as he's pouring it, right, the movement is it's affected by the koch of the ovdei kochavim. Yisrael Adana, if the Jew is holding the chavit, if the chavit is his, ve'ovei kochavim akuba, and he's pouring it into the jug of the ovei kochavim, then chamer share, because he's not actually causing anything to move, he's just holding the jug. Okay, so just look at Rashi for a minute. Chamra asur, he's talking about bahana'a. Okay, there it's asur bahana'a. Okay, and therefore, because it's kocho. However, this is one of those cases where there's a problem in the Girsim Rashi where he says different things. In other words, there's a whole debate about whether kocho of Rashi in another place said the kocho is asur only b'shtia and not b'hana'a. So there's a big debate, and there's a lot of, I'm just going to mention this. There seem to be a lot of problems in the Girsa of Rashi, particularly in this area of the Masechet. I don't know if there's some reason for this, but there seem to be, Rashi contradicts himself, like later today, he quotes a Mishnah from the next page, and in the Mishnah on the next page, he explains it one way, and the Mishnah on our page, he explains it another way. There seems to be a lot of inner contradictions within Rashi. So again, this is part of this debate. Every time we see it's Asur, is it Asur Bahana'a, Asur Bishtia? Where do we go with this? Okay. Okay, and then Yisrael Adana, and then, then the wine is Mutar. Okay? So just one second. Okay. V'im tzaded sidude asur. Okay, but if he shakes it up, okay, or we'll see exactly what. Right. So if while he's holding it, he's mitzadid sidude asur. So there's a big debate. No, the non-Jew. In other words, the whole idea is if there's some movement by this non-Jew, then it's going to be problematic. So the question is, what is this mitzadid sidude? What exactly is he doing? There are many different interpretations. I'll give you three of them, okay? One case is that the jug is full, okay? I believe this is Rashi, right. Rashi says, ubekuba mele'a askinan. And what's the concern? Rashi brings two different options. Rashi says maybe it's that it's totally full, in which case the jug is totally full, in which case there's a concern that if he moves it a little bit, he'll come to touch the wine. Because if it's totally full, he'll end up touching some of it. The next option, Lishna Achrina, Rashi says, afilu chasera nami, even if it's not full, because what's going to happen? Kevan de mekarkesh b'chavana, havele kocho b'chavana, b'asur b'shtia. If it's not full, then, and if it's totally full, then it's not going to move around too much. But if it's not full, then after the wine can move around a lot when he moves it, and then it could be he's moving it b'chavana, and we don't know. Another option is to say that the barrel is leaning, mitzadet sidude means that the barrel, when he's pouring it, is leaning on the jug, which means that, again, you have to be a little creative here, but that the when he's holding the jug, he's actually controlling the flow of the wine into the from the barrel into the jug. And remember, the non-Jew's holding the jug. Maybe when he's holding it, he's helping to control the flow, which means he's actually causing the movement. It's as if he's holding the barrel itself. So there's a bunch of different interpretations. Nobody really knows exactly what this is, what's meant by mitzadei tzidude. Amar Papa, hayovei kochavim didare zika. Okay, what's he doing? He's carrying a wineskin, a sealed wineskin. It's closed. Okay, it's totally closed. He's carrying it. And v'ka'azil Yisrael achore. Okay, and the Jew is walking behind him. So, malya share delo mekashkesh. Chasera aser dilma mekarkesh. So, they say if it's full, then it's mutar. Because if it's full, then again, while he's walking and it moves from side to side, the wine's actually not moving anywhere because it's totally full. There's nowhere for it to go. But if it's chasera, then it's going to be aser. Even though, now this is interesting, it's totally sealed. It's not like he can touch it. But again, he's making it move, and that will be considered problematic. Okay?
But even in the flask is moving, even if the wine...
it's true the flask is moving, but that doesn't concern us. It's the moving of the wine itself, like shaking up the wine. Okay? But kuba... sorry, don't makarkesh. Kuba. Okay. Malya asir. Here, we're going to see. Malya asir. One second. Sorry, also doing makarkesh. Kuba, sorry, this is the next case. Now, what if he's carrying a kuba, which is a jug, which is open? Okay, there we had the wineskin, which is closed. Now, what if it's open? So, malya asir dilma naga. If it's an open jug that he's carrying, there's a concern that maybe he touched it. Chasera share dilo naga. If it's chaser, we're not concerned that he's going to touch it. Why is that? Because if... Not only that, but he's not going to move it around because when you're carrying an open jug, you walk very slowly because otherwise it's going to spill. So you walk very slowly, in which case he's not going to let the wine shake at all, and he's certainly not going to touch it because if he does, then it's going to start spilling out and he's going to lose it. Okay? Rav Ashi Amar, Zika Bein Malya Uben Chasera Share. Okay, he says a sealed wineskin, whether it's full or whether it's full or whether it's empty or, you know, partially empty, not right, just not full all the way, it's going to be mutar. Why is this? My taima ain derech nisuch bekach. If it's a closed wineskin and he's carrying it probably on his back even or maybe in his arms or whatever it is, right, the assumption is that he doesn't do nisuch in this kind of a way. Okay? Oh, by the way, I forgot to mention, why is this Yisrael walking behind him? Why is that relevant? Because he's right. In other words, the Jew is kind of checking on his actions.
But I'm sorry.
Then we're not worried. He's actually going to open it and touch it.
Are these new cases where you can do nisuch without actually touching the wine? Is that why they're bringing them? Because up until now, everything we've had, he had the Obed Kochavim had to have put something in or actually touched.
Right, so you're saying now we're discussing, yes. So now we're moving on to the ways that he can move it without actually touching it, and is that a concern or is it not?
No,
is that a way people
say,
do... Here we see there's a debate. Do people do nisuch like that, or do they not do nisuch like that?
And then the issue is if there's been a Yisrael within...
Like right, who's watching. We're going to see this a lot today about the concern of the Jew watching, and therefore, you know, the concern, if the Jew's watching, then he knows that it's not going to be done. And how much hashgacha do we need? And all sorts of that. We'll get particularly that at the end.
Now, I was thinking they could say you can't do nisuch to a wine flask because the opening is so narrow that you can't put even a finger in, assuming what kind of wine flask.
Depends what kind of wine flask it's, right. But here, even the one that's sealed, though, we're still worried that he's moving it and shaking it, and that might be. Right. And then the question is, it seems like the issue here is it asur b'shtia or asur b'hana'a, right? And it seems likely that it's only asur b'shtia because this is all much more removed from the whole issue, right? It's much more of a richuk, as we say.
Right. Getting to what we're doing today.
Right. Exactly. Right, whereas even if the person doesn't come in contact with it, you know, or just isn't, right, you can't, or right. Looks, but yeah. Okay. Okay. Ma'atzra zaire. Okay, this is a wine press with a beam. Now, how did this work? Okay, we're going to see that there's a nice picture in the Shanstein. You can look at it. Okay, there's a beam at the bottom that goes onto the gut where the grapes are put. There's a screw at the top that's attached to the beam. And then the screw itself has a pole. And the pole, or a reed, or something inside, and you turn the pole, which turns the screw, which pushes down the beam onto the grapes. It sounds like a Rube Goldberg, right? And one causes the other. Okay, so that's really what we're going to be talking about.
Huh.
Right, you would have a donkey, yafeh. You would have a donkey going around, and that would cause the thing to do it, but that's not the case here, because now we're talking about a non-Jew doing this. So this Miatzra Zaire, so Rav Papa Share, Rav Ashi, V'Tamar Rav Shimi Bar Ashi, Asar. Okay, so one side says it's mutar, one side says it's asur. So now the question is, the question is exactly how this wine press works. Okay, do we say bekocho if he's actually pushing the beam on it? So kulam alo pligi da asur. Everyone says that's asur because that's his kocho, and that's what we already said is a problem. Ki plige, right? He doesn't actually need to touch it, but he has to affect a change to it. Ki plige bekoch kocho. Kule amalo plige, I'm sorry. Ki plige bekoch kocho. The machloket, according to this reading, is it's koch kocho, okay? It's he's causing one thing, which is causing another thing, which is then, okay? It's actually interesting. There's a Tosfot says, even shlishi revi'i, that if you say koch kocho is asur, it doesn't matter. Once removed, twice removed, three times removed, it can go on forever, like a Rube Goldberg. So if he knocks one thing, which causes this whole chain reaction, but I think it's the Rush who says, no, he disagrees. Koch kocho, but not koch kocho de kocho. You know, it's not that far removed. Okay, that's one reading. The other reading is, no, everyone agrees koch kocho, it's mutar. Ki pligi bekocho. Okay, and then it wouldn't be that he's moving this reed, which is moving that, right? It would be a much more direct way of doing it, and that's what the machloket is about. But everybody agrees once it's removed, then it's already not a problem. Hava uvda bekoch kocho ve'asar. But in fact, there was a case where the non-Jew got in contact with the wine, bekoch kocho, and they asered it. Rabbi Yaakov min ahar pekod. Oh, sorry. Asar Rabbi Yaakov min ahar pekod. Okay, Rabbi Yaakov min ahar pekod was the one who forbade it. Hau chavita de'ifka la'orka. Okay, so it cracked. So there was a chavit, and it cracked on the side. Okay, like from the top to bottom. And the non-Jew came, idre, keep seeing this word, he kafat, right? Immediately he went, hau obe kochavim, chabka. And he hugged, so to speak. What he really did was, right, he put it back together. Okay, he held it together so that the wine wouldn't go out.
Interesting that we have all these examples of very nice, helpful, immediately responsive non-Jews, not the ones who are trying to kill us.
Yes, yafeh ma'od. Right, and a lot of this issue was that they really had a lot of interactions with them, and they were working together, and they were doing things, exactly. Sharya Rafram Bar Papa, okay, so he said this is mutar, right, because again, what's the issue? He was doing it, right? He jumped into doing it. Usually the assumption is when he's jumping into doing it, he's not concerned with misuch or anything, right? He's not actually coming in contact with the wine, although we're going to see that there's a debate a little bit about this case.
He's also actually keeping the wine from moving, right?
If you right, he's keeping barrel, it from moving, but he is causing it to move. By closing the barrel, he's kind of pushing the wine inside. Okay? The assumption is that there was also a little wine already dripping out the sides, so what?
It's liquid's going to move.
Right, exactly. It's going to move. V'itema Rav Huna Bered Rav Yoshua, and some people said it's Rav Huna Bered Rav Yoshua, Lizbune L'ovdei Kochavim. Okay, he allowed it, I didn't read the whole sentence, he allowed it for people to sell to non-Jews. But then they say, V'hane mile depaka le'orka, aval leputya afilu b'shtia shari. This is only, in other words, it's allowed to sell, you can get hana'ah, okay, because again, Shalo b'chavana, what do we say? Shalo b'chavana, it's asur b'shtia, because we don't want you to come into interactions with the non-Jews, but it's mutar b'hana'a. So this, it cracks down the side, we could say, okay, he jumped in to do it, he wasn't intending to do nisuch, he had an intent, right? The idea is not just shalo b'chavana, but when he has a kavana for something else, then the assumption is that he's intending for that thing, and he's not thinking about nisuch, especially when he's rushing to do something. But if leputya, if it cracked on the horizontally, like a horizontal crack, and all he's doing is pushing down the top of the barrel onto the bottom, afilu b'shtia shari. This is mutar even b'shtia. This is even looked at all as nikiya maitaima ma'ase levena ka'avid. He's basically, it's like putting a brick on top of it to keep it together. So He's viewing, pushing the top down onto the bottom piece is not viewed as actually coming in contact with it really at all. It's really just pushing it down. I don't 100% understand why exactly this is such a distinction here, but they assume that there's this distinction. There was this Ovei Kochavim that was there was in this Ma'atzarta of the Israel, and this is a... Right, in the wine press. I guess he was just in the wine press. Amar Rav Ashi, right, he was next to the wine press, that's what it was. He was standing next to the wine press, right? Kayo usually means to stand. He was standing next to the wine press of a Jew. Amar Rav Ashi, I'ika tofeach lahatpich by hadacha ubay niguv. V'ilo b'hadacha ba'al masage. So now the question is, there wasn't any, Rashi says, he was next to this wine press of the Israel. V'lo haya b'yayin ela mashke tofeach alehen. There was a little bit of liquid in the chavit. Okay? So the concern here, right, is that, right, the question is, there was a little bit of, like a drop of remains of the wine left in the gut. Okay? So now the issue is, are we concerned that the non-Jew came in contact with that? And then what do we have to do? We have to forbid both whatever's in there, those little drops, which are not significant. But what's more significant?
Right.
The wine press itself. Because we say, no tain tam, and it gives, right, it gets absorbed into the wine press itself. So therefore, they say like this. If there's tofeach latpich, okay, this is a concept that comes up in Tumah also. What does it mean? It's enough liquid that it can get, if you touch it, you can get something else wet with it. Okay, there has to be enough liquid that by you touching it, has to be like three, right? There's three stages. There's the wine itself. You'd have to be able to touch it, and with that, get something else wet. If there's not enough, that by the second, by the minute you touch it, it's already absorbed into your fingers, and you can't really get anything else wet, then it's not considered problematic. It's not considered a continuum. So basically, if there's tofeach latpich, that it could get some third thing wet, then we're going to forbid also the wine press, and you're going to need to do what's called hadacha, which is wipe, cleaning it, like drying it out, and niguv. Niguv is this process where you do, Rashi says, and it comes up on Ayin Hey, we'll see it then, you put afer, ashes, then you put water, then afer, and then some people say even water again. Okay, so you do this stage of niguv, and that's how you get the flavor out of the wine press itself and take out the iser that was absorbed into the walls of the wine press. But elo, if there wasn't enough yayin at that point, then b'hadacha ba'al masagele. You just have to dry up the wine press and you're fine. New Mishnah. Ovei kochavim shenimtza omei b'tzad habor shel yayin. An ovei kochavim is next to a pit of wine of a non-Jew. Of a Jew. Im yesh lo mal ve'alav asur. Ein lo mal ve'alav mutar. Now the question is, this is really going into what are the assumptions of what people will do and won't do. If you're standing next to someone's pit full of wine and doesn't belong to you, and right, you're not going to touch that because why? People will think you're stealing. Okay, so there's a certain concept, just like we've talked about, there's certain standards of nikiyut, of cleanliness, and that affects certain halachot. There's also certain standards of behavior that we expect that people behave in a way that people won't suspect them of doing wrongdoing. What do you want to ask?
Were there really borot yayin?
I don't know if boar is used like a pit. It's probably used interchangeably with a chavit, right? A cistern.
Or a cistern is a boar, but
right, it's usually used for a boar. It means just some. It could be a chavit also. I don't know why they're using specifically boar. Yeah.
More in the shomer, there are actually
pits that were used. Interesting, that were used for wine. Okay.
Whatever that yeshuva is called, there's tons of them. But I always thought chavit would go inside.
You thought the chavit would go inside the pit? Uh huh. Apparently not.
I noticed a few places. I don't know if that was like Yotze Min HaKlal or that's how it was done, but they had that obviously.
Yeah. Okay, so you're standing next to the boar of Yain. So now what's the assumption? Do we assume he's going to come in contact with it or not? If there's no connection between the two people and there's no issue of, we'll talk about right now, a malva. Let's do the other case, okay? Im yesh lo malva alav, if the Jew owes money to the non-Jew, right? If he had borrowed money and he owes him money, so the non-Jew might actually come in contact with the wine because he'll claim, if somebody says, oh, you're stealing, he'll say, what do you mean? This guy owes me money. I was going to collect it from the wine. Okay, in a minute, we'll get to the Gemara. They're going to modify this a little bit. But im ein lo mal ve'alav, but if the Jew doesn't owe him any money, then mutar, because you can assume there's no way he's going to come in contact with that wine because people will say, what are you doing touching this guy's wine? You're stealing? Nafal libor, what if the non-Jew falls into a pit of wine. Okay, now we get a little, right? So we had where he dropped the lulav into it, right? Where he's holding the lulav and it falls in. What if he himself falls into the boar? Ve'ala. Okay, or we're going to have a bunch of different cases. He falls into the boar and then gets up. Madido b'kaneh, he measures it with an implement. Now, this is different from our case we saw before, which is he measures it with his hand. There's a big debate about whether this is only if he measures it with an implement, not with his hand, or do we say that it's the same, it's just you'll see that at the end they're going to say there was a maaseh, like all these cases in Hichshiro, and therefore they gave the case that specifically happened, but it would be the same whether it's with a kaneh or with his hand. So there's a debate about that. And then it would affect who does, remember, there was a three-way machloket with the kaneh, so it would depend on who this Mishnah follows. Okay? Let's say there's a hornet inside. And he takes the kaneh inside the barrel, takes the kaneh, and he knocks, right? He takes the reed, and he knocks the hornet out of the barrel, or the pit, or whatever it is. So again, he's moving the wine when he does that. O shehayam matpiach al pi chavit merutachat, or it was fermenting and bubbling up, and he basically took off the top layer of the foam, right, to calm it down. Bechol elu haya maaseh, v'amru yimacher. All these cases we said are permitted b'hana'ah. They're asur b'shtiyah, permitted b'hana'ah. V'Rabbi Shimon matir. Rabbi Shimon says, these are mutar even b'shtiyah, which matches what he said with the kaneh and the hand going inside. They're also, he said, it's permitted b'shtiyah. Right, he had that matir opinion that if there's no kavanah, right? And there's kavanah for something else. In all these cases, there's kavanah to do something else. So the assumption is that since you're intending for something else, then, you know, some people say also with the chavit murutachat that people wouldn't, you don't do nisuch when you're cleaning off the top of the, you know, the bubbles coming off. That's just not the way you do it. So that's why if you can't do nisuch, so for sure you can sell them. But Rabbi Shimon goes even so far as to say you can even drink. Natal et chavit. Vizarkaba chamato lebor. Okay, what if you take a chavit and you throw it in anger into the boar? Zehaya maaseh vehichshiro. Okay, now this is throwing. Throwing is already even more removed. Okay, so throwing, we're now going to say, is mutar. Okay, and they matired it, Rashi says, even bishtia. Okay, Amar Shmuel. So now we're going to go into these cases in the Gemara. The case of the halva'ah is not enough to say the guy randomly owes him money. It's that the guy owes him money and said, if I don't pay you back, I'll pay you back with this wine. It can't be just randomly, because you can't just go into somebody's house and take their stuff and say, oh, this is in place of the loan. There has to be a conversation about it. You know, it has to be that it's connected. And now he's going to prove it from the next Mishnah. Am Rav Ashi, matnitin daika. You can also prove this from the next Mishnah. Ditnan. This is at the top of the next page, which we'll get to soon. Hamitaher yeno shalove kochavim v'notno birishuto. Okay, what does this mean, hamitaher yeno? It has nothing to do with tumantara. It means that you make wine with the non-Jew, meaning you work for him, or you not exactly work for him. It's almost like an aris, okay, a sharecropper. You basically say, I'm going to make your wine for you, but I'm going to make it kosher so that you can sell it to Jews for a good price. Okay, so the non-Jew agrees. Now, what the agreement is that the Jew is going to pay the non-Jew after he sells the wine. So he's basically saying, I'm going to make your wine kosher, I'm going to sell it, and when I sell it, I'll pay you back what I owe you. So, note, and then what does he do? So he makes the wine, and he puts it in the reshut of the non-Jew. Okay, he's storing it in the non-Jew's house. Okay, interestingly, you could do this. Well, we're going to see later under what circumstances you can actually do this. So then the non-Jew writes to him, "Hitkabalti mimcha ma'ot." He writes him a shovar, okay, a receipt that says, I already got paid from you, even though he didn't get paid from him, because the agreement was he'd get paid from him only after he sells it. But he wrote him this thing that says, I already got money from you. Assumption being that he's basically saying you have all rights to this wine. Okay, because as soon as you sell it, you could just take it and you'll pay me the money. And it's like, sort of like almost like a trusting relationship. Okay, so they say this is mutar, because the assumption is, since he already gave him the shovar, even though we really hadn't paid, he views it as if the Jew has paid and as if it belongs exclusively to the Jew. Okay? And since it belongs exclusively to the Jew, and since he wants the Jews to sell it and get the money for it, he's not going to mess it up because he knows he won't be able to sell it. Aval im yirtzei Yisrael lahotzio, the Jew wants to take it. Forget the case. It's not where he gave him a shavar. What if the Jew wants to take the wine? Ve'ein minicho ad sheyiten lo ma'otav. But if he says, I'm only letting you take the wine once you pay me, then what's the case? The non-Jew is basically viewing it as if the wine is his own entirely. Only if the Jew purchases it from him, basically, will he give it to him to sell, even though the Jew made it all kosher and everything. So here, what happened? Zehayam ma'aseh bebeit shan vasro. And they forbade it.
That's like the same thing as a non-Jewish wine store in America or anywhere.
Except that nowadays they can sell kosher wine because it has a shkaf on it and they're sealed. In those days they weren't sealed. There's actually a whole debate in this Gemara. Is it sealed or is it not sealed? This is another one of those differences, I think, between Rashi here and Rashi where the Mishnah actually appears. Rashi here says, here, mutar, Rashi says, it's mutar, im yesh maftech o chotam biyad Yisrael. Okay? If there's a key or there's a chotam biyad Yisrael. Okay, but on the Mishnah, he says mutar, im bay patuach l'reshut harabim. Okay, there he says it's mutar as long as the house is open to reshut harabim, but that you don't need a seal or a maftech. Bit of a debate also between Rashi about what this is. Right.
Storefront.
Yeah, a storefront. Okay? So we'll see. We'll get to all that stuff later. Okay, like I said, there's debates about exactly what all the details are. So Ta'ama, so now what does that have to do with our case? We want to try to prove, okay, let's try to remember, only if there's a milveh on that specific wine can we assume that the non-Jew thinks he has rights to access the wine. Okay? So Ta'ama de'ei minicho. Right, the whole reason why the second case, right, if he doesn't let the Jew take it, ad sheyiten lo ma'otav, that's why it's going to be asur. But ha'minicho, if he allows the Jew to take it, then what? Share shmamina milva aloto yayim be'inan shmamina. It sounds like there has to be a connection that we assume that the wine, he has rights to the wine, right, that based on this milva. Okay, there has to be this connection between them. Otherwise, right, it wouldn't work. In other words, it wouldn't be a problem. We wouldn't suspect him, right? The only way we suspect him is if he thinks that he has rights to this particular item, not just that he has a deal with him and, you know, maybe takes it for something else. Nafal lebor va'ala. What if somebody falls into the non-Jew, falls into the pit, and then gets up? So now we're going to have an interesting ukimta to this Mishnah. Amar, remember what ukimta is? It's where we say the Mishnah is only talking about a specific case. Lo shanu ela she'ala met. If the guy falls into the boar and dies in the boar. Okay, so some of the freshmen say he doesn't actually die, but he's like half dead. You know, in other words, what's the point? The question is he going to do nisuch on his way up? So if he's like half dead or not conscious really, okay, maybe he didn't actually die, but he's not so conscious, then of course there's no concern of nisuch. But if he is, then yes, it's true on the way down. We saw this before. On the way down, it's not a problem. Remember the guy who, they said, wait, hold his hand in place, and right when he went to get the etrog? Okay, because on the way up, we're worried. So what does he say? Aval alachai asur. My time, huh? Here he says a little different than the last time. Amar papa, didame ale kiyom edam. If he almost drowned in this pit and got up, and he was alive and well, he's so thankful on his way up, then what's he going to do? Thank his Elil. And how's he going to do that? By the Nisuch on the way up. It's more than the Etrog, right? Where we're just worried maybe he's going to do something on the way up. But here there's all the more reason to think he's going to do something because he's just been saved. Madidobe kane. Kol elu hayama seva amru yimachev Rabbi Shimon matir. Amarav adabra ava. Yanuchu lo Rabbi Shimon brachot al rosho. Okay? Blessed should be Rabbi Shimon. What a great... Right, Heter he came up with, and he's such a great. It's a great opinion of his. Keshuhu matir matir afilu b'shtiya ukeshuhu osera osera afilu b'hana. He says like this. He's very
balanced,
right? And that's, when he's matir all the way, and when he's oser even b'hana. Amr b'chia bar abba bar abreja abba bar nachmani amr chista amr rav amr la amr chista amr ze'ere. See all these people halacha k'Rabbi Shimon. Okay, all these people pass on like Rabbi Shimon. Some people say, Rav Chista says, Amarli Abba Bar Hanan, Hachi Amar Ze'eri, Halacha Karabi Shimon, as opposed to saying it in the name of Rav and blah, blah, blah. Okay, that said in the name of Ziri. But the Gemara says, Ve'ein Halacha Karabi Shimon. Okay, we saw this before, that we pass in these issues like Tanakama, that we're going to say it's forbidden b'shtiyah because we don't want to create interactions with non-Jews. Okay, for Rabbi Shimon wasn't concerned with that in these cases. He says, when there's kavanah for something else, then it's already so far removed, we're not worried about it. But Tanakama says, no, we're worried about interactions with non-Jews, and therefore we're going to forbid a b'shtiyah, but matre b'hana'ah. And if you remember, Rabbi Natan said, it's usher both b'hana'ah and b'shtiyah. Okay, Natal chavit v'zarka b'chamato lebor, ze haya ma'aseh v'hichshiro. So Amar Rav Ashi, kol shebezav tamei be'ovei kochavim oseh yei nesach. Kol shebezav tahor be'ovei kochavim ein oseh yei nesach. So now they say, Rav Ashi says, and in a minute we're going to bring our Mishnah's problem for this, the criteria for Azav has this tumah called hesed, where if he moves something, it becomes tamei, even if he doesn't come in contact with it. So Rav Ashi says, whatever makes Azav Tameh is also going to make Yei Nesek. Whatever is considered movement for the purposes of Azav, of Hesed, is going to be movement for the purposes of Yei Nesek. Now, what's the main thing he's really getting at? Throwing. If Azav throws something, okay, then, and it touches something, and it moves something, that's not a problem, okay? The throwing movement, one sec. Oh, right, sorry. Rashi says this isn't actually hesed. He's talking about maga, okay? I forgot this, right? There's hesed and then there's maga. He's talking about maga, okay? It's not considered maga when you throw something, okay? So, one second. I have a seven. Sorry, just give me one second to check something. Right, Rashi's saying it's not hesed, because there's things that are different, right? But Rav Ashi is talking just about maga, and it has to be maga yashir, or by his, like, direct, or through his body, or some chefetz. Okay, and he's saying, by throwing something into the wine, just like throwing something into something else, would not be metame. Okay, you wouldn't be metame if Azav took this marker, and he made this marker tame, but he threw it into something, right? He wouldn't be chayav for what he threw it into. Okay, so likewise, if he throws this wine into the boar, it's not going to be tameh. Okay, so what does he say here? Etive Rafuna Laravashi from our Mishnah. Natala tachavit bezarkaba chamato lebor. Zehaya maaseh bebeit sham v'hichshiro. And what's the assumption here? Why was it mutar? Because he did it out of anger, meaning he had no kavanah to throw this wine into the chavit. He just did it because he was angry and he wasn't thinking. And therefore, he was focusing on anger, and he wasn't doing misuch. So what do they see here? B'chamato in. But shelo b'chamato, if he intentionally took the chavit and poured it into the boar, it would be usher, and that's if he threw it, right? So if he threw it, shelo b'chamato, it wouldn't be a problem. And what do we say then? That we said for a zav, that wouldn't be tameh. So therefore, if his criteria for yei nesach is the same as a zav, it also shouldn't be mitameh. So then they answer, hatam deka'azil minei u'minei. This is a case where he's rolling the kli until he basically, when he gets to the boar, it's touching it. And it's not actually throwing, it's actually touching it. And that's why it's problematic if it's in shelo b'chamato. But if you actually really threw it, then it would not be problematic. Okay, new Mishnah. Hamitaher, like I said, we're going to go on as far as we can in Samach Aleph, and we'll stop, you know, we'll finish up on Sunday, the rest of Samach Aleph. Okay, so now we get to that Mishnah, except that there's a case before the case that we saw already. Hamitaher yeno shel ovei kochavim. So again, he makes kosher wine for the non-Jew. Vinotno birishuto hapatuach lirishut harabim. Okay, he leaves it in the house of the non-Jew. And the case is, his house is patuach l'reshut harabim, okay? It faces out to the common area. Now, it depends what kind of a city this is. If it's Be'ir Sheyesh Ba'ovdei Kochavim V'Yisraelim, and then the assumption is people are walking by his house all the time and can see, and Jews will notice, so then they'll know, oh, no one's going to buy wine that came from this guy's house because they saw him opening it. So therefore, he's not going to open it. He's going to know that people could be watching all the time, and mutar. Be'ir Shekula Ovdei Kochavim Asur. Okay, but if it's a city that's all non-Jews, then it's going to be forbidden. Ad Sheyeshevu Mishamer. Unless he has a mashkiach, basically, okay? He has someone who's watching. Ve'en ha-shomer tzarich liyot yoshev ha-mishamer. And this is why I say mashkiach, because we all know the mashkichim don't sit 24 hours a day, 7 days a week in the restaurant. But af ha-pishu yotzei v'nechnas mutar. As long as he comes and goes and the non-Jew knows at any moment he could be showing up, it's mutar. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar omer, reshut ovdei kochavim achati. Okay, we don't yet know what this is. We'll get to this in the Gemara. Now we get to the case we already saw. So again, he makes wine for the non-Jew, and the non-Jew puts it in his possession. And he writes him this shovar that says, this receipt that says, I already got the money, it's mutar, because he views it as if it's the item of the Jew, and he's obviously not going to touch it. And he won't give it to him unless he gives him the money. Because they viewed this as belonging to the non-Jew, and therefore he wasn't so worried about the loss, because he felt, this is mine, I could do with it whatever I want. So now the Gemara starts to question this beginning case. Be'ir shekula avdei kochavim nami. It should also be mutar in an ir shekula avdei kochavim, even without a mashgiach. Why? V'ha'ika rochlim ha-mechazrim ba'ayarot. These Jewish merchants are always coming through the city. So therefore, even in an all non-Jewish city, right, they can't imagine the city is all non-Jews. There must be merchants coming through. Why do they assume this? Also because, obviously, this Jew who made the wine for him is a merchant who's selling his wine. So there must be other merchants coming through the city. Samar Shmuel, Be'ir Sheyesh Bla Dlatayim Uvariach. It must be a city that has a lock on it, that it gets locked certain hours of the day, which means that there's hours of the day that he knows there won't be any Jews coming through, and therefore he's not concerned if he opens his model, right, and comes in contact with it, does the nisuch, no one's going to know, and, you know, he feels like he's safe. So therefore, in that case, the Jew can't trust him.
And there are no cameras.
And there's no cameras, that's for sure. Amar of Yosef, v'chalon kirashut harabim dami. Okay, even if your house doesn't open to Rishut Arabim, but there's a window that faces Rishut Arabim, that's sufficient. Right? How this all deals with Hezek Ri'iyah and all that, that people can look into your house. But, okay. Ve'ashpa, and if you have it near this garbage dump, ki Rishut Arabim Dami, it's the same as being, if it's right open to the ashpa, that's a place where people frequent all the time because they're always dumping their garbage. And therefore, it's like Rishut Arabim. Ve'dikla, ki Rishut Arabim Dami. Here's another interesting one. A palm tree, because it's so tall, people would climb up to the top of the palm tree to get the dates. And therefore, when they're up at the top of the palm tree, if the guy's house is right near there, people can look in while they're in the tree. Okay. Pasik Reisha. Usually we say Pasik Reisha is, you know, a concept mainly in Shabbat, although in all sorts of things about, right, if you cut off the head of a chicken, won't it die? And therefore, it's some act that for sure the malacha is going to happen. But here, it actually means literally, if you cut off the top of the tree where the dates are growing, and there's no dates on the tree, then what? So, pliga barav acha v'rabina, chad asar v'chad shari. This is a funny one. Manda asar, lama le desalik hatam. Why would anybody climb up to the top of the tree if not to get the dates down? Manda shari, zimna da avdalei behema v'salik liyune batra. He might lose an animal. And Rav, thinking of like people go up to get their cats that climb up trees, you know, things like yours, have the books with the firemen, you know, they call to go up,
oh,
get
no,
the animal.
I thought he has to climb up so you can have
yeah, fair. That's exactly. I was going to say, it's not that, okay? It's exactly what you said, which is he's going to climb up to have an overview to find his animal. We're obviously not talking about a cat, right? It's called the behema. Right? He's looking for his animal, so he goes up top to have a good view, okay? Tanu Rabbanan. Echad ha-lokech ve'chad ha-socher bayit b'chatzero shel ovdei kochavim. Okay, if you rent or buy it in a chatzir that belongs to a non-Jew, umil uhu yayin, and he fills it with wine, the Yisrael dar ba'ota chatzir mutar. Okay, so he has a place there, and he puts wine there. He uses it as a storage house. No, the Jew uses it as a storage house for his wine. And then he uses it to put his wine, but he doesn't live there. But there happens to be another Jew living in that chatzir. Remember, they used to have a courtyard that was common to a few houses. So if there's a Jew living there, mutar. We're not worried he's going to come in contact with the Jew's wine. Here we get to it. Even if there's no key or seal on it, okay. But if the Jew lives in a different chatzer, mutar. Okay, if the Jew's living in a different chatzer, it's mutar. That's only as long as he has a key and a chotam. So if there's a Jew living there, then he doesn't need to worry about a key and a chotam. We can assume the non-Jew is not going to come in contact with him because he's scared. If the Jew sees, he'll know. But if no Jews live there, then it's mutar as long as he has a key and a chotam. Okay? There's a debate about whether you need both or whether you need a double. There's like a whole debate about this also. Hamitaherin yeno shelovei kochavim birshuto. Yisrael dar ba'ota chatzer mutar. So now, again, if you make wine for a non-Jew and you leave the wine in his reshut, and the Yisrael is living in that chatzer, mutar, okay, here, this, we're in the middle of a brayta here. V'hu shemafteach v'chotam biyado. But it's only if you have a mafteach and a chotam in your hand, okay? You have a key to the house, and, you know, or it could be, again, is it both or either or, okay? But in this case, one second, why is there a difference? What's the difference here? The first case, the wine belonged to the Jew. So there's less of a concern he's going to come in contact with it. But this case, the wine belongs to the non-Jew, right? The Jew made kosher wine for the non-Jew, but it belongs to him. So therefore, there's concern that he might come in contact with it. And therefore, if you want to make sure that you can sell it, like Naomi said, if you're in a store that's a non-Jew owns a store where he sells kosher wine, it has to be sealed. Okay? That's what it's saying. Amar le Rabbi Yochanan l'tana, Tane, af al pi she'ein mafteach v'chotam biyado mutar. But Rabbi Yochanan says, no, it should be even if he doesn't have the mafteach v'chotam biyado, it's mutar, because, like we said in the Mishnah, right, since the Jew is living in the chatzir, since we said before, if the Israel is living in the otach chatzir, he's not worried. Even though it belongs to the non-Jew, he says, no. This is actually a mistake, and it should read that even though, you can see there were a lot of different opinions here. He says the Mishnah must mean, the Braita must mean, that once there's a Jew living there, you don't anymore need the Mafteach and the Chotam. But b'chatzer acheret, asur, and then he says, then the next case is, in a different chatzer, it's asur, af al pi shemafteach b'chotam biyado, divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says, but if it's in a different chatzer and it belongs to the Jew, and the Jew is living somewhere else, it belongs to the non-Jew. The Jew made kosher wine for the non-Jew to be able to sell to Jews. But nobody's living there. It doesn't even help to have a mafteach v'chotam biyado. Okay, that's not enough. And then there's a debate here about whether it's enough to, if you have a double seal, or you have, you know, how much you need in order to allow it. The Chachamim osrim ad sheyesh shomer yoshev u'meshamer o ad sheyavo mimuneh hava lekitzin. Chachamim say this is aser, and there's going to be a question in a second about which case are they referring to, okay? Because Rabbi Meir just said it was aser, so it's not talking about that last case. So we'll have to go back and see which case are they talking about, and that's what we'll finish up today. Chachamim forbid unless there's a shomer watching, or ad sheyavo mimuneh, unless there's like a mashgiach coming at set intervals, the kitzin. Okay, so we're going to have two questions on this. What do you mean it's set intervals? If it's set intervals, then if he knows exactly, so we're going to change that. And also, we have to figure out what are Chachamim referring to? Chachamim ahaya. So what are they referring to? Ilema asefa, the last case, Tanakama nami meisar kasser. Tanakama here is Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir already forbade it, so it can't be that. Ela aresha de seifa, the case before about Yisrael dar b'chotam chatzir mutar, b'ush mafteach b'chotam biyado, but, which sounds like then he could say, but it's aser. Haka amar le Rabbi Yochanan l'tana, but Rabbi Yochanan already said, Tinei, you should change that to say, af al pi she'em mafteach v'chotam biyado mutar. And here it says, Chachamim said, ad she'avo mimuneh. So it can't be that case. Ela asefa dereisha. It must be the last case in the written, the second part of the first part, which was, Deka amar tanakama b'chatzir acheret mutar, v'hu she'mafteach v'chotam biyado. Is if there's no Jew there, as long as you have a mafteach and chotam, it's fine. And come Chachamim to say, no, that's not good enough. You need the shomer. Okay? Lo'olam asur ad sheyesh shomer, yoshev u'meshamer, ad sheyavo mimuneh hava lekitzin. So now they say, mimuneh hava lekitzin griyutahu, that's a bad thing. If you know exactly when the mashgiach is showing up to your restaurant, right, in between, you can do whatever you want. Ela ad sheyavo mimuneh she'eino ba'alekitzin. They change it and they say it must be mimuneh she'eino ba'alekitzin. Okay, so we said number one, Chachamim referred to the earlier case about the wine of the non-Jew. That's and there's no one right. The Jew made wine for the non-Jew. There's no Jews in the chatzer. Is it enough to have a seal? Chachamim say no, that's not sufficient. You need to have a mashkiach come. Okay, and you need to have the mashkiach come at intermittent times when you actually don't know they're coming. Okay, stop here, and next time we'll get to Rav Shimon ben Elazar. Okay, so we'll pick up here on Sunday.